Hey guys, it's Chris. Welcome back to K97.5. This time we got some classic 90s rock and roll for you. Rob Zombie Dracula. Hey guys, it's Chris, and I'm back with James from Daily Leafs Sports Tribute, and we're back for another Game of Thrones Season 7 Q&A. Also, before we get started, stick around to the end of the video. We have a very cool giveaway this month. We have another World of Ice and Fire book, the original leather-bound coffee table style book, still in the plastic. We'll be giving that away at the end of this video, so stick around, and I'll tell you how to enter that contest. So,
you don't want to miss out on that book, guys.
Oh, no, you don't. If you're an Ice and Fire fan or Game of Thrones fan, you need that book.
Absolutely. So, you want to dive right in?
Anything you want to discuss beforehand? I don't think so. Not a lot of action as far as news this last week. Yeah, it's been really, really slow. After the teaser trailer dropped, it's like nothing's been going on at all.
Coolest thing for me is this figure here. Yes, Khal Drogo.
We found this awesome, James actually found this awesome collectible shop. It's got sports stuff and nerd stuff. It's been there for 8 years.
Right around the corner.
A mile away. And I never knew about it.
Neither one of us knew about it. We got Khal Drogo here,
this dark horse figure. And you may have noticed Ned Stark last week. We forgot to mention him,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Didn't mention Ned.
Well, so, yeah, he's pretty damn badass.
Well, let's get this started so we can get to the end and give that thing away. I'm going to start you out with a Patreon. This is from Jennifer.
All right.
Jennifer says, now that Danny is coming to Westeros, do you think we've seen the last of Essos now? Iron Bank is there, obviously, but just wondered if there was anything from the books still to tie up. Thanks. P.S. If chosen, could you just use my first name, please?
All right. Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. I think in the show, we're probably not going to see Essos. I think we will hear from the Iron Bank.
Right.
I think we're going to see him possibly come to Westeros. So we may see a little clip of him over there or something, or maybe in the Iron Bank building or whatever. But overall, I think we're pretty much done with Essos in the show. The books, I think that's a whole different story. You still got a lot going on. She's not even left Marine yet in the books. You still have the you have everybody going to see her in Marine still.
Okay.
So when's the winter, we'll still see a lot more stuff from Essos, a lot more stuff from Essos.
And I hate that too because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of times I'll mention Essos when we're talking around here, you know,
yeah.
I'll say, you know, what's going on over there? Why don't we hear a bunch of
Yeah, there's it, so much stuff going on in the books over there. You have, you know, Faceless Men storylines. You have Citadel storylines. You know, we talked about Mauron the Mage last week,
yeah,
heading that way. You have Mokoro and Victarion. The Greyjoy stuff, all, you know, heading that way towards Danny. So we're way beyond, you know, that point in the books.
Well, let's see. Here's another Patreon. We're going to go with Lauren Wagstaff.
Thank you, Lauren.
She says, Q&A. When Mel took Gendry, she leached him and placed three in the fire. Joffrey, Rob, and Balin all died. Do you think it was inevitable or because of the many blood sacrifice? That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it was probably because it was just inevitable by the
really?
Way they acted, but it was one of those things to kind of lead us to believe there is a god at work here, and of course Melisandre believes it,
yeah,
no doubt, and that's
true.
One of the ways she convinces Stannis, because he didn't want to kill Gendry until he had proof,
right?
So the leeches was the test.
Damn it!
But you got to think about it. Okay, first of all, Joffrey was going to die some way or another because he's an asshole.
Exactly.
Balon was an asshole. He was going to die one way or the other. And Euron was going to come to do that because he feels like he could lead the Ironborn to better, bigger things.
Okay, right.
And then Rob, well, he fucked up by marrying the wrong
Damn
lady.
If he didn't.
So,
Damn
you know, they all caused their own death.
But this is so similar to what we were talking about.
It is.
In our one video
about
how it kind of backs up everything.
Exactly. So I still, you know, prophecies, the whole, it's tricky. The sort of the magic is tricky. You just don't know, and I think we're going down a road. You know, we were also caught up in RLJ and the Prince that was promised and, you know, the Last Hero and all that. What does that all really mean, you know?
But coincidences like this happening, you
yes.
know, it strengthens
it does.
People's belief in
Absolutely.
That stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Good question, Lauren. All right, here's another Patreon. This is Lily. Lily says, do you think that Stark family... / kids will reunite in season 7 or do you think we will lose more Starks? Now, we kind of talked about this a little bit in our
We have. We're going to see a little mini reunion, but they're going to probably miss out on John.
I think so too.
I think in the show, John will leave first. Sansa will be in charge of Winterfell, essentially, you know, Queen of the North, you know, without the title.
And then Bran.
And then here comes Bran and Arya.
Yep.
And so you'll have a mini reunion there. Minus Jon.
It's
minus Jon. So you'll have a little bittersweet reunion. And as far as losing somebody, I do think we have to lose another. Not in season 7, I don't think.
Okay, true.
I think in season 8, we'll probably have to lose a Stark. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the last video about who it could be.
Yep.
As far as one of the Stark kids. And, you know, I could see Bran because he's the heir to Winterfell. So I've been tossing it between Bran and Sansa. I think Arya goes to the end. But Sansa, you know, she...
See Bran dying?
I could in the end of this thing.
Holy shit.
We're talking about how magic may have to go away in the end of this thing, and he's a magical person. Now, necessarily saying he can't live without being magical. If you think about Jon's king in the North, Sansa wants to be queen in the North. You know, she's still, you know, got the whole thing going on about power and Littlefinger's manipulations. But Bran, when he comes home, he's the actual heir. So there's a conflict there, and...
That's true.
What do they have to do with...
But I'd like to see Bran, I guess like Forrest Gump, I got me some magic legs.
Yes.
Bless his heart. You already damn haven't even...
No, I hope not. No, I don't wish for it by any means. I just can see, you know, because we were talking about, you know, Sansa's storyline could possibly come to an end. And
yeah.
But I could also see it happening to Bran, but also Jon, you know, I mean, anybody really.
If you see him living without magic... Do you see him ruling?
I don't. I don't know. That's what I mean. There's conflict there. Jon may kind of get out of the way being a Targaryen once he finds out, but you still have the Sansa thing, and she's going to get a little taste of power. Then Bran's going to come back and technically be the heir. Now, he doesn't want it.
Like you were saying, it could be Bran or Sansa dying. You kind of talk about
I think you can make an argument for anybody, including Arya. So,
but if, say, Sansa did die and Bran lives... Without magic, you think he would be the heir? I mean, heir. But,
yeah.
I mean, do you see him ruling? And what kind of ruler would he be without magic?
I could see that, too. You know, it opened up, the series opened up focusing on Bran. And in the books, as a matter of fact, he's the first chapter. Besides the prologue.
He's
a very important character. So I could see him. I mean, you can argue so many different ways about who it could be, if anybody. But I'm sure we'll... This is going to be bittersweet. It's not going to be great.
Because, see, he's going to be, like, all-knowing and everything.
Yeah.
You know, even without the power, he'll have the memories.
Right.
You know?
And I mentioned in the last video, I have a gut feeling that he's going to be the last green seer. So,
yeah.
We'll see with the whole magical thing. But we talked about that in Dragon Part 4. So
I'm going to pull one from one of our videos. Well, it's actually your video. This is from one of your foreshadowing videos. This is from a regular commenter and question asker named Herb Coswell.
Oh, Herb.
Herb, I'm so glad to read this for you, bud. And that's not sarcasm at all. I seriously have been promising you for a long time. And something happens, I always forget. But I got you this time.
Well, we didn't forget last week. We just couldn't find
the question.
couldn't find the questions because they were all... You know, about the comment, or the message I got, which I did read her.
So this says, in the beginning, he says, this was a great video. You are indeed one of the best YouTubers I have ever seen.
Wow. Thank you.
Also.
Appreciate that.
Q&A. Do you think that it's possible that there will be a twist ending that out of all the people who could win the Game of Thrones, Arya Stark, a little girl, and second daughter wins the Game of Thrones? Perhaps in the last moments of the show and books, we see the Red Keep in ruin, and as Littlefinger is about to seat the throne, and he puts in parentheses, remember him ruling even in Ash.
Yeah, that's
true. Arya kills him, and then she sits on the throne, not to claim it, but to take in everything that has happened, and then the last of the people in King's Landing come in and then kneel to her as the new queen of Westeros. That's actually a pretty cool scene.
Yeah, I can see that scene there, Herb. That's pretty good. You know, look in the screenwriting, man. I'm telling you.
That was really cool.
Yeah, no, I can see that because, you know, Arya, the whole Nymeria thing we talked about before, Nymeria, the warrior queen, you know, she named her dire wolf after, Nymeria, back down in Dorne. So, yeah, it would be, I could see that little twist. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really predict, that's going to happen, but I will say that I don't think there's going to be an Iron Throne. I don't think there's going to be a clear-cut winner in this Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But as far as a ruler or some kind of leadership position, yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, the whole thing he threw in there with him saying he would, you know...
Yeah, King of the Ashes, absolutely.
Even in Ash.
That's what Baron said to... that's absolutely correct.
And him sitting down just to kind of relax and gather herself and walk in and go...
And that would kind of parallel the Jaime moment after Robert's Rebellion. You know, he sat down on the throne and Ned walked in and, you know, he made him get off the throne.
Exactly.
And never respected him after that. So, and he didn't plan on taking it. You know, he was just sitting down, probably taking it all in. He just killed the king.
Yeah, exactly right. That he probably pulled some textures from that, actually, when he was thinking
right.
That. Good question, Herb. Next question, another Patreon. This is Christoph Shans or Shanes. Sorry, Christoph. Q&A. We've very briefly seen Aaron Damphair in the show, but not nearly to the extent of the books. And in my opinion, show Euron is also a huge disappointment. Do you think we will see more of book Euron in the upcoming seasons, including much of his evil, sorcerous ways, and maybe some of the awesome awfulness of the newly released Forsaken chapter? Also, Valyrian steel armor would be epic.
Yes, it would. I don't think, in the show, they didn't even name Aaron Damphair. They just kind of, you know, it was kind of a book thing, like a little shout out to who he was. But, the show, I said this the last couple Q&As, I don't think that the Greyjoys, or at least Euron, is going to be that big of a deal in the show.
I know, we did talk about that.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, in the
books...
How
do you feel about that?
I'm conflicted about it, but I understand why. You know,
right.
I understand why they cut out Victarion and really just didn't. You know, Aaron Damphair was just he didn't even do anything other than just baptize Euron basically in the show. Mm-hmm. Didn't even name him. So I don't think that in the show at least we're going to see Euron's going to be around. He's going to be a threat. It's not that he's going to get killed in the first episode or something, but it's not going to be this big story because we already. Because in the books, you have Victarion going over there with Dragonbinder. He sent him over there.
Okay.
Euron did. And that's how he won the King's Moot. And it's a much bigger storyline. And now in the show, we've already got Dany on the way. You know, Asha or Yara in the show. And Theon already met him, or met Dany. And now they're already on the way back. So.
Well, what do you think? Like, could you kind of explain to me the major differences from book Euron and show Euron, other than the horn, the way he's talking, pretty badass in the book, you know.
Yeah,
pretty...
and he's a badass. He's got much, you know. He's really, he's kind of the same character in the sense of what he plans to do.
Okay.
He wants to take over the world.
Yeah,
you know. And then he sends his brother there. And then his thing about it is his brother Victarion. That's where the twist comes in because he's going to undermine Euron. And he's also met Makoro, which we've talked about.
Yep.
And he's got the Red Priest and the Red, you know, R'hllor on his side. And he's going to take Dany for himself, take the dragons, he thinks, with the Dragonbinder horn that Euron entrusted him to take over there. So the twist in the books is really more about Euron versus Victarion in the future.
Damn.
So I think that's what we're going to see there. And that's just completely cut out of the show. So I think Euron in the show lasts a while. He will team up with Cersei, obviously, in some way. They won't ever get married,
right?
But they'll form some kind of alliance, really, out of necessity rather than choice. And Cersei will agree to something, although she'll never follow through with it.
Yeah.
And then eventually,
every time you say that, I mean, I truly believe that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think so. They just have to. They don't.
Yeah,
really...
I mean, it's not that I know. It's just
know,
that when you think
it...
about all Cersei's lines and all her character arc about power and men. You know, she like proclaimed herself heir to Castle Rock in the books because she was the oldest. She didn't care about being a woman. She's you know all that comes into play when you think about her actions.
And the Valyrian steel armor, Gendry could make a set if he had
If he learned from Thabo Mott to reforge Valyrian Steel, okay, and he got Valyrian Steel, he could actually technically make a set.
So yeah, he's pretty talented.
They did, and that's a good point with Gendry, because that's why they showed off the bull helm,
yes,
of how talented he was.
That's really caught their attention, yeah, so, Ned's attention.
Right.
Well, cool, man. Great question, Christoph. Next question comes from Adam Moe. Adam Moe says, Q&A, how do you see the final battle being visually? Exactly like the Battle of Bastards or Hardhome Battle? Do you see Jon Snow charging into the walkers, or will he follow a plan this time? Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. And this is something I've thought about a little bit, actually. I don't think there's going to be this giant battle. I think we're going to see some... there's going to be a battle. There's no doubt there's going to be some kind of a battle, some skirmishes. But I don't know if we do see, like, the White Walkers lined up. You know, they march south and get to the Neck, for example.
Yeah.
And Jon Snow and the whole gang and the line over here with all their sigils. And I don't see that, actually. I see it. I see some fighting going on, and they basically get damn near wiped out, and whatever's got to happen, it's more of a parlay. I see a parlay.
What about this?
Where some kind of communication takes place.
Okay, you just said the word that I'm looking for. Communication.
Right, yep.
Are we going to see, like, some kind of audible commands by the White Walkers to the White Army? You know, because they are wild.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's crazy.
You know, I did the little teaser video.
That's
Winter
exactly
is
what
here
was in my mind.
Because I was, and then, you know, you saw the screech.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw them, marching up to where I guess they were just building their army. And
we're going to see that
again?
Yeah,
you can see that, but it stops them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a battle, whatever, and then they agree to whatever in the hell's got to happen for this, you know, new pact.
Right.
And they literally, you know, screech or whatever.
And
stop them.
Yeah.
And they just stop in their tracks.
Or they could release them from that spell that has them, you know, animated.
Yeah, or
they just drop.
They just drop dead. Yeah, drop back to the dead.
Yeah, back to the dead.
Or whatever.
And, woo. I feel whoever has to pick up
all those. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I could see it both ways. I mean, it's some big, giant, epic battle, but honestly, it's not going to be a fair fight.
Even with
dragons, because you're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of whites everywhere.
And you've mentioned this too. As the living die...
Yes, they just pop right back up. So they have to literally, you know, disable them. You know what I mean? It's just too many, even with dragons. So, I mean, I can see that happening for sure, but it's not going to last long. It's almost like, think about World War Z.
Yeah.
You know, those type of things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, so then it's going to have to get to a point where Jon and crew have to reach out to him. You know,
yes.
Or maybe that's where Hallen Reed comes in. You know, maybe he pops out somewhere, which we talked about a little bit in part four. But,
you know, maybe they lure him.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
So, not so they can, like you say.
To that special location we talked about.
Not so they can fight him so much.
Right.
But as to try to
talk
to him and communicate.
It has to happen some way, because Craster talked to him some way. Craster got right with the gods some way.
And there's a way to do it.
The Night's King, the original Night's King, the 13th Lord Commander, got right with the gods some way. Now, in that case, apparently it was with another woman.
Yeah.
An other woman.
And still feeding them through the door
and still
little kids.
Human sacrifice
babies,
was involved. So sacrifice has always been involved. Now, John is not obviously going to agree to that.
No.
But there will be some kind of communication. It's got to be.
But Adam, I hope his answer didn't let you down, like if you wanted a big epic battle, but all that'll do is just make you love the Hardhome.
Yeah, and,
you
know,
even more, because those were
I mean, I definitely...
Battle of the Bastards,
yes,
Hardhome,
yes,
can't beat those battle scenes. Name a movie, Saving Private Ryan, whatever, I don't care. They're just right up there with it.
Exactly. I agree. And like I said, I mean, I could be completely wrong. Maybe it is, but it seems too cliche almost for the ending of this thing for George R. R. Martin. But, you know, I can be wrong. I am a lot. So,
good question, Adam. Here we go. Carol Funk, who is a patron on Patreon.
Thank you, Carol.
Says, Q&A. So this is a little out of the realm, I guess, but I just realized that the eggs mentioned in Dunk and Egg, the Mystery Knight, could very well be Dany's eggs. Aegon's egg, green with white swirls, the egg stolen at White Walls, red with black whorls and golden flecks, and Prince Arion's egg, silver and gold. What do you think? I'm sure Aegon had them and several others at Summerhall. He tried to hatch seven, but he did tell Dunk there were several clutches of eggs around still, right, as well as the Targaryen cradle eggs. And what about what Bran saw, right, as he was Summer at the sacking of Winterfell? Do you think a dragon that was hidden somehow under Winterfell was released in the burning and destruction? I don't know how no one else would have seen a dragon, LOL, but what was that?
Right, yeah, I think that was just, it just for the Bran part real quick, I think that was smoke.
A lot of people mention that a lot.
Yeah, because, I mean, it'd be, like you said, other people would see a damn dragon flying out. And I mentioned that last week in the Q&A.
You did.
I don't think a dragon can physically live under Winterfell and trapped in, you know, the crypts or something like that. It's got to eat. It's a creature.
Yeah.
But so I think, you know, and it's described in that chapter when Bran is in Summer, you know, because he smells, you know, tastes blood and all that kind of stuff. And so it's from that perspective, he saw probably smoke and fire and in the shape of some beast or whatever.
Right.
I think that's what that refers to. But it could be a hint at something. So, because this, you know, everything's in there for a reason, and the devil's in the details.
You think those other eggs could be Danny's eggs?
That's really interesting there. I've never thought about that, but I'm trying to think if I remember the description right from Ice and Fire, not Dunk and Egg, but, you know, Drogon was black with red streaks, I believe.
Okay.
And I believe Assyrian is cream with gold.
Okay.
And then Rhaegal was green, and I'm not sure if there was some gold specks or speckles or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's possible, but according to Illyrio, Dany's eggs came from Ashai, and the Shadowlands beyond Ashai, which is an unknown region. We don't know anything about it. We're never going to know anything about it because we're never going to see it.
Yeah.
We just hear about the city of Ashai, but not, we just hear the word of the Shadowlands. So it's hard to say, but that would be kind of cool, a little connection there.
That would be really cool.
But
absolutely,
what's more important for that point is, for which is a great question, there's more dragon eggs out there.
Yeah.
And we know Euron had one, supposedly, and, you know, Euron, for example, I think he probably used that to buy a faceless man and perhaps the dragon horn or whatever, dragon binder. But there are still dragon eggs, and we talked about that one possible scene in season 8 where
we did.
Camera pans out, you see a clutch of eggs.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I called it. When he said it, I said, I agree.
That was your prediction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, if you had a dragon egg, it's almost like currency back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I say back then, like it's real.
It is real.
I know, damn it. It's still real to me, damn it.
Oh, make me spit out my coffee.
Yeah. But so yeah, I mean, you could trade that for about anything, because look what she did with a little baby dragon. You know, she got a whole army and all
right, an actual dragon, though.
Yeah,
but,
I know,
you know
it was hatched.
And
but
in the show and in books for that matter, Viserys mentions when he tries to steal Dany's eggs before he gets killed, you know, one egg could buy me a ship, two eggs an army, three eggs a very large army. So they're basically, and I think there's, they didn't even put quite enough value in the show, at least, again. So they were just, were, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. It would be like us holding a fossil, basically.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean,
yeah, if you found a fossilized dinosaur egg, it would be priceless in the sense of its beauty and what it means and blah, but you know there's never going to be.
Yeah.
So you could use it for currency. So yeah, same idea.
You don't know that. I might, like, try to use some fire in your
blood. That, yeah,
see what I can
do. Or, you know, you could go the route of frog DNA and oh, there's
somebody
there's,
made that
there's
up
a movie
already.
About yeah. There's a movie or a book about
I've
that.
Heard
I
that before. So, which I bought hook, line, and sinker. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
When I saw the way they did that,
I thought
was
it
like,
was cool.
That could happen.
I love the mosquito and the tar. I mean, the
amber.
I think it was sap. Right.
Sap.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was cool.
All right, sorry to go off on that tangent, but next question is another patron, Mama QB.
Mama QB, thank you, ma'am.
Says, how do you think Hallen Reed will make his entrance on Game of Thrones?
Ah.
We've seen his younger self at the Tower of Joy, but what plot point do you think will bring him out of Greywater Watch as an older man? He didn't come to swear fealty to Jon and Sansa, which seems odd. Yeah, yes. You mentioned that before.
Yes, we talked about this, yeah. Mama QB, in Dragon Part 4. Mm-hmm. And the thing is here's my thing. Here's my little theory on Hallen Reed. Hallen Reed is not at Greywater Watch. Everybody, you know, he's said to be there.
Right.
You know, Joji and Amira say his father's at home. You know, he should have been there a couple times. Number one, when Rob was named King of the North.
True.
Because he sent his kids to swear fealty to Rob.
That's right.
Supporting, you know, him after Ned's death, being his best friend. Why send your kids? And then now, Jon's King of the North, in the show at least, and he's not there again.
Uh-huh.
So Hallen Reed is not at Greywater Watch. He's not in the Nick. He is at...
logically deduce that.
Yes. He's up to something more important than that. And so... we talked about that in Dragon Part 4 when we kind of got down to actually what we think is going to happen. And there were two versions of that, but I'll just say this. Go watch that video for anybody who hadn't seen it yet. But I think he's at the God's Eye. And I think that's where we get the reveal.
So
I think he's already there. Or he's at least traveling there, studying up. He knows more about what's going on than we
think. On that thought, when are we going to be introduced to that? To the God's Eye.
Yeah.
Will it be season 7?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
I don't think John's going to find out in season 7. Maybe at the very end when the wall crashes or
something.
You don't
think he's going to find out in
season 7? I don't think so. I mean, it's possible. I hope he does. But that may be almost a last minute thing before he realizes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because like I said, it kind of goes off the question we just had, right? Yeah. When Bran comes, he misses Jon completely. Jon's already in the South.
That's right.
You know, going to see Dany and all that. So I don't think we're going to get in season 7. I think it's going to be season 8.
Too, yeah, but it does make sense because it helps build up to that.
Right.
You know, he has to find out at that time.
Yeah, and he needs to find out in a way that's not just somebody telling him to. He needs to get not burned. You know, I'd said this, you know, I started YouTube.
Yeah.
I said, you know, during season 5 that I think, in early season 6, I think the funeral pyre would be a way for him to come back where his body doesn't burn.
Exactly, yes.
So, but they always, and people always also throw up the point in the books where, and in the show for that matter, where he burns his hand, saving
Jor
Mormont.
Yep.
So I think that was in there to remind us, you know, the RLJ or kind of hint at that as far as reminding, you know, there's some kind of fire connection with Jon. He burned his hand, but it's also a parallel with Dany who burned her hands.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I think that would be very cool for him to survive a fire like Dany, at least in the show visually, so you could see that happen.
Yeah.
And then they go, what the fuck? And Dany's like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he is brother's. Yeah, maybe he is my nephew.
I could see that.
So, that'd be cool. He's got to have something magical, right? I mean, he's Stark and Targaryen.
Yeah. And good question, Mama QB, because
it is.
Those are the things we talk about all the time.
Those are the minor things with the show and the books that bug you. They're purposely left out because they're you just don't hear about him enough. You know just enough to piss you off.
Yep.
So you know he's up to something special, and I think he comes to the end game at the God's Eye.
And it's those thoughts, though, that will help you, you know, and whether you're right or wrong, come to a conclusion on how this is going to end.
Right.
Because you have to put those outline pieces
and that
together.
Was actually, you know, that very question that I asked myself that I came up with my little theory in part 4
for the God's
about
Eye.
The ending of this whole thing.
Yeah.
The God's Eye location.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it makes no sense that Hallen Reed's not been to Winterfell yet.
That
so
is
he
so
is
strange.
Not just sitting around in Greywater Watch taking care of the Neck.
Exactly.
With all this going on, the War of the Five Kings, and you know Rob dying, Ned dying, and all that stuff, no, he's in the God's Eye. He's been there before. That's probably where he's back.
I agree totally. Well, I think this is a good spot for us to wrap this one up. We'll be coming back with another one really soon.
Oh yeah, we're gonna record a couple here.
Yeah, got plenty of questions this time. And thank you guys for listening to me and putting Q&A in your question. Or, you know, in your comments.
Yeah, there was a lot of them this time. So it was clear which ones this time. So let's get to this giveaway. The World of Ice and Fire book, we told you guys in the beginning of this video, this is the giveaway for this month. And this is, again, the full original cover, World of Ice and Fire book, still in the plastic. Badass book, don't want to miss it. So There will be a link in the description on how to get that, and I'm using the Gleam app again, so
that works perfect.
Yeah, it does, and it keeps track of everything, and you can log in with your email address or use Twitter, Facebook, whatever, or really just log in with the email address if you don't have to create an account. But to enter this contest, we always do multiple ways so you can get multiple entries. Exactly. Because everybody doesn't use social media. Some people don't use Twitter, Facebook, etc.
We want to give everybody a chance, a good fair chance.
Right. But the more you do, the more entries you get, so you're the bigger chance of winning. So anyway, for this particular giveaway, the first thing is to be a subscriber. Pretty simple. Mm-hmm. And you can do all this from the link I will leave in the description again. You can do all this stuff right from this Gleam app, so it'll take you to the right places right there in the app itself. So first, be a subscriber, and that gets you 5 entries, I believe.
You can already be a subscriber.
Yes, yes.
You don't have to be a new subscriber, create a new account or anything. You can already do it.
Yeah, if you're already a subscriber, you just go to the link, click to subscriber, and then it'll kind of verify that. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So you'll subscribe. You can subscribe for 5 entries.
Yep.
The next thing is follow me on Twitter, and that will give you, I believe,
two
entries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can also follow me on Facebook, or like the Facebook page, I should say, and that is another 2 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And then also for 3 entries, I believe, you can retweet a certain tweet I have.
Exactly.
And 3. You don't have to do anything but click retweet tweet, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you're logged in with your Twitter account, it'll automatically do that for you and then verify you've done that. So that's 3 entries. And for the last way, you can get 2 more entries by simply watching a video, and I have that link there so you watch video. You can actually watch that right in the window on the Gleam app without actually going over to YouTube. Either way is fine, but that can get you a total of, I believe, 14 entries.
Your name can be put in the hat 14 times.
Exactly.
If you do all that stuff.
Right. And you can just do one. I mean, either way is fine. That's for people who, because I have a lot of comments say I don't use Twitter,
right,
or I don't use Facebook, or vice versa, but that gives everybody a chance to enter in some way, shape, or form, and also the people who use all those can get extra entries. So, anyway, again, that will be in the link in the description below. Just go to that little link and then enter there, and I can keep track of all that, and then I'll run it for about 7 days, I think.
Yeah.
I think I'll run it 7 days, and then I'll pick a winner and announce the winner in the next Q&A in a couple weeks. But keep in mind, if you already follow me on Twitter, for example, if you're already a subscriber or already like the Facebook page, you can still get those entries.
That's right.
It'll basically just verify you're already doing that.
Yep.
So still go through the app, and you can do everything from that one spot. So it's pretty clean and simple. Pretty straightforward.
Easy enough.
And these are fun to do. I enjoy it.
I do too. And we always have fun when we're actually drawing it on the,
right,
on the thing.
We'll draw it live on the, well, not recorded. We'll be live.
Yeah.
And draw one winner this time. And we'll do that. Like I said, I'll run it, I guess, 7 days-ish.
Good.
It'll be live once we publish this video. We'll be live. So 7 days from the time this video comes out.
Exactly.
So anyway, thanks again, guys, for all the support. I really, really appreciate it, especially to you guys on Patreon. And thanks for your questions as well. Also, a huge shout-out to my Patreon executive smokescreen producers, Hollis Griffin, BallGuy10, Lala Gig, Kisa Powell, Marilyn Bentley, Mark Joseph, a.k.a. The Snow in Winterfell, Joanna, and Sean Hayes. Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it. And to everybody out there in YouTube land, thank you so much. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you.